What's interesting about the female and male creation, physical creation, is the man supplies the female with millions of sperm. And out of the millions of sperm, usually nothing happens at all after lovemaking. Usually the woman doesn't get pregnant. But maybe after they make love, maybe 100 times, a transfer of millions of sperm each time, then there will be one sperm that becomes accepted and a creation begins to materialize. Now, what does this tell us? It tells us that us guys have just all kinds of ideas that we're always telling everybody about and nobody listens to us. And then finally, you find one female that will say, "Hey, I believe in you." And suddenly, something begins to happen. That's when magic happens. When the female accepts an idea from a male energy, when the female energy accepts an idea from the male energy, because the female is very selective. You can tell how selective she is by nature. Out of millions and millions of sperm, only one is accepted. The rest of them are just totally rejected and die.
I thought it was telling us to make love more.
Yeah, right. Well, that's a good idea, too.
We all get what we want out of it.
So the female is very selective. The guy can come up with all kinds of things. "Hey, honey, we got to do this." And she says, "Yeah, yeah, yeah. We got to do this. Yeah, yeah, yeah." And then she'll say, "Hey, we need to go on a vacation to the Bahamas." And her eyes light up. "Hey, yeah, that's a good idea." And then he forgets about it. And then she'll come back and say, "Hey, what about that vacation in the Bahamas you promised me?" "Oh, I forgot all about it." But she doesn't forget. Once she incorporates something in her mind, creation begins to take place. And by George, they're going to wind up going to the Bahamas or whatever. So this male-female creation process demonstrates the power of the word. Once the word is implanted in the female energy and it's accepted, then it begins to grow. Now, in each one of us, as individuals, we have both male and female energies. Where's your male energy at?
In our mind.
Good, your mind. Your mind is polarized male.
Everyone else had a different answer.
That's the physical energy.
And where's your female energy at?
Heart.
No? Overall, one word again.
Heart.
Heart.
No?
Intuition?
No? Motion. Okay. Boy, you get in the mind every time, aren't you?
I read this book called The Molecular.
Okay, so the female energy is in your emotional body, which it's an emotions is an extension of the heart, so the heart was partly right, but it's your emotions overall. And you have higher and lower emotions, but they're all polarized in the female energy. So when you have when a word is spoken, it goes through your thoughts. And then from your thoughts, you create an image or a symbol of some type, and it goes down into your emotional body. So it goes down from the mind to the emotions. Just like between the male and female, the female is very selective about what she will materialize. So are your emotions. You may think, "Well, man, I'd like to make $1 million. I've got this business idea I'm going to develop." Okay, emotions, let's get going. And the emotions say, "Man, I don't feel like doing that much work." "That's a lot of work, fella." The mind thinks, "Oh, it's not too bad, you know." But the mind just thinks about the work. The mind doesn't really do the work. But when you're actually doing the work, the emotions get affected. They get discouraged just really easy. If you're doing too much work, staying up too late, the emotions think, "Oh, man, I don't feel like doing this anymore." Do you ever say, "I don't think about doing this anymore"? No, you don't, do you? You say, "No, I don't feel like doing this anymore." Okay, so you're on the road to making the million, and your thoughts are thinking, "Boy, this would be great when I make that million. I can't wait till I'm on... can go on these fabulous vacations and everything with all that money I'm going to make." And meanwhile, your emotions are thinking, "Man, I don't like having to work this hard. I just don't feel like it." OK, Okay? So to get your emotions to feel like it, you got to reward them somehow. You got to get your emotions fired up. You got to be like Tony Robbins with the emotions. Tony Robbins is really great on the emotional level because when people attend his seminars, he gets them all fired up, all ready to go. And so that's what the mind has to do with the emotional body. So in order for the word to have this power that is needed, it has to get the emotions fired up. And that's difficult to do. So the emotional part of ourselves likes rewards. Likes to feel good, it likes fun, it likes pleasure, likes good drink, good food. So you have to reward, the mind has to reward the emotional self with lots of little rewards to keep it going. So if the word then is planted in the mind, shifted down to the emotions, then the mind has to keep those emotions happy. And how long can you keep your emotional self happy? You know, just think, when's the last time you spent a whole day with your emotional self completely happy, where you never said a cuss word, never said a discouraging word, never criticized anybody, but you're just completely positive for just 24 hours? You know? Yeah. Probably Brian over here is the only person that can do that, but.
That's Melvin.
That's Melvin. Okay, so the Word is God, meaning that the Word is more than just a word also. So we think of words as just singular words. Think of the word music instead. Music covers, it can cover just a note, it can cover a chord, it can cover a series of chords, it can cover a whole melody, it can cover a symphony. We call that all music. The word is a little like that. The word can stand for one word, like the word when. It can stand for a phrase. It could stand for even a book. So like a whole book can be called, also fit in the category of a word, which is God. So maybe a book itself has a purpose. Maybe there's a phrase. Or maybe there's a symbol represented by a phrase. Or maybe there's a motto of some type. Like, what's a Boy Scout motto?
Be
prepared, right. Be prepared, be prepared is the word for the Boy Scouts. You know, that's kind of conditions, everything that they do. That's like the God for the Boy Scouts in a way, because the word is God, and be prepared is always their motto that's in front of them. Now, there's a number of things that determine whether or not the word manifests as God. If you have a word or a phrase or an idea or a concept that you can put into words, and you expect that to manifest as the power of God, several things need cleared out of the way. First of all, what makes God different from you and me?
Knowledge.
More than knowledge.
Experience, wisdom.
No.
Purity.
Let's suppose that a master like Christ appeared right here before us.
Pure love.
And he were to say something to like Susie over here and says, Susie, it is your destiny to have another child. Okay. That would about blow her away at this point. Okay? But would you believe it?
I would believe it.
Right, she would believe it. Why would you believe it?
Because he said so.
Okay.
The authority of the word.
Now what if Jason said, Susie, you're gonna have another child? What if he said that to you? Why would you doubt Jason but not doubt the master?
Not my glowing
experience. Yeah, he's not glowing.
Okay. What's the difference between Jason and the Christ in that regard?
Well, he is an authority.
Right, and why is he an authority?
Because
what?
Soul.
Power of the soul.
Yeah? Because, as far as we know, it's this. Is that everything that Christ has said or would say to us is true. We have faith in him. That he, matter of fact, I believe there's some scripture even says God is truth. So, if a master or a representative of God or an angel or God himself were to stand here and say something to us, we accept his word because he represents truth itself. I mean, if we can't trust God, then we can't trust anything. We really don't know anything, do we? I mean, we would have no purpose. We wouldn't know what anything about any promises about the afterlife being true or not. Maybe we live for a year after we die and we fizzle out and go up in flames. Who knows? Maybe we haven't been told the truth.
We'd feel that also, yeah. You know, vibrationally, if he was actually standing right here.
Right.
As opposed to the truth. Say, Jason, tell me that.
God is his word.
Right. What makes a master different than you and me, or the average person, is that a master can say something and we can depend on it. If he says, JJ, you're going to do this, I think, well, I guess that's what's going to be then. You know, so I guess I better get busy doing it. But if Curtis tells me, you're going to be doing this tomorrow, and it sounds kind of crazy, I think, well, I'm not so sure about that. But if a master like the Christ were to appear and tell us something like that, we would all believe it, and we would act on it as if it is what? As if it is the word of God. Okay? If a true representative of God stands here and tells us something, his word is the word of God to us. And when the word is the word of God to you, what happens to you?
We add belief to it.
Right, you act on it.